first question actually would be, what would you, how would you guys present yourselves to people that have no idea who you are? What would you recommend yourselves as?
What kind of genre?
I'm not sure. What would you say about Christian? Somebody asked, oh, what the hell?
How do we explain ourselves?
Yeah.
That's, I think, probably one of the most difficult ones. Because, like...
I am worse.
Yeah, I mean...
All right, we'll build up to it then.
I myself, I just...
Hang on.
A lot of... Okay.
Sorry. You are...
I'm Sean. Crew. Dave. Jesse.
Yeah, just to make sure... I know... Well, I'm going to check up to make sure that... Okay.
I mean, a lot of times you can always, sometimes we're like, yeah, we're experimental or psychedelic, progressive rock, and people are like, okay, well, what does that mean? I just kind of, for myself, I grew up the same with like Mars Volta, and of course we have the Tool Comparison and Dredge and stuff like that, so I kind of sit within those when I compare ourselves, but...
Well, I could try to... You know, categorize us as an art rock band.
Yeah.
Because art, we, rock.
Yeah. I mean, we put a lot of visual art into our live show, and not necessarily crazy visual art, but just try and make it more of an experience as opposed to just a performance. You know.
Yeah.
Is it personally creative visual art, or is it?
Yeah, we set up all our own lights and everything so that we bring our environment to every stage we play is our original show.
Yeah, a lot of times it's positioned differently a lot of different times. Like, we'll put the lights in a different place or, like, try to create a different mood, like, you know, depending on what we think is cool for that setting.
But all together, the show, at least from what I've seen on YouTube, the shows can be considered psychedelic.
I hope so. Yeah, you can say that. Yeah.
That's your aim?
Yes, absolutely.
We try to make it as much of a visual experience as possible.
Yeah, we don't encourage people to do any drugs or to, you know, I mean, whatever they do is on theirs, but we would like it so if you do come in to our show and you're there for an experience, that's what we give you, is a psychedelic experience, with or without your experimentation of your own. We just want it to be a big experience every time.
Do you think that being Seattle-based has anything to do with your style of music? If you had come from the Bay Area, you would have played trash. If you had come from, I don't know.
Well, I don't come from Seattle. So I've only been here for the last decade.
Okay, so it's...
I'm sure it has somewhere.
I mean, I grew up here.
Yeah.
Same with Drew and Jesse. We all grew up in the kind of Puget Sound, Seattle-ish area.
Do you think that plays any role in what you're composing now?
To be honest, I don't think so. Like, it really depends on the elements of, like, what everybody's feeling and the personal experiences we've gone through in life, and just the elements that we all have together, like, that we create. It's kind of create its own thing. I mean, yeah, Seattle's kind of gloomy and has this grunge-esque feel, but...
I don't think we really represent a grunge.
No, not really at all. At least not in my opinion, but maybe
we take a lot of inspiration from older bands like Zeppelin and Bowie and, you know, Pink Floyd, and so a lot of the bands that we grew up that were coming out around the times we grew up really aren't big influences on what we're doing. And I'm not really sure where they're from. So.
Yeah.
If they're all from Seattle, then I guess they did it.
I mean, a lot of those were from, like, Britain, so it's like...
Yeah.
I guess early Britain rock is... Or England.
British.
Do you guys, when you compose the music, or actually, strictly talking about the lyrics, do you aim at certain messages, or is it the moments when you write whatever comes out that moment? Do you plan in advance what to write about, or is it
the... It's a mixture of both. I mean, I think, like, sometimes we do
you know, we write and we have a very, like, kind of, I wouldn't say, like, we really don't try to, like, have a moral with our songs or anything like that. You know, we don't want it to be just like, this song is about this. But we do, you know, sometimes we have an idea that we're trying to present or a concept that we're kind of trying to present. And other times it's just like you kind of sit down and pre-write, you know, and you just, you know, have some imagery in your head or some things like that that you just, you know, comes out and you go with that. And, you know, you, sometimes we write a melody and then put lyrics to it, and sometimes we write lyrics and put a melody to it. So it's kind of a mixed mishmash, yeah.
Any person in particular that writes lyrics, or?
They write lyrics. I'm not very good with being clever with words, so I try to stay away from that.
I use Boggle. I just put the letters together, shake up the box, and just like read off.
That's what a dictionary.
Yeah, exactly. Just start pointing at it.
The random dictionary. That's right.
How easy is it for you guys to get some visibility nowadays, considering it's a bunch of fans out there?
It's really hard. The internet has made it really everyone accessible, but it's also the trade-off is just that there's so much that it's so easy to get lost in the mix.
True.
But at the same time,
we've been very lucky though. I mean, I don't see anybody completely independent getting, you know, the fans that we do. We've been very lucky. Our fans are very tenacious.
We're very
supportive of us, so.
It definitely forces us to kind of be creative in how we get ourselves out there in a certain way.
That's all word of mouth, mostly, you know. I mean, like, it's been, we've done
this person telling this person, and that person telling that person.
Radio, like, Last FM is really, like, expanding a lot with our fan base.
As a matter of fact, I wore recently from the Maria concert, and I was just curious to see what's the crowd reaction. And a girl at the bar was like, "Oh, you have a recent t-shirt. I haven't seen this guy in a long time." And somebody was, "Oh, my friend is a friend of a friend of a friend."
Studio 7?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Wow.
I was surprised.
That's fantastic. Cool.
That's great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Cool. We never see that ourselves.
I know.
But
he should try your own hoodie.
I can't fucking do that. I can't wear our own hoodies or like t-shirts and shit.
I'm wearing my
own. God, I'm such a fucking poser.
I admit it. I do wear our hoodie sometimes when I go to work.
It's a really comfortable
thing. Yeah, it's marketing.
Actually, I have had people say something about it when I wear the hoodie, and it's cool to see. You know, it's good to know that people are paying attention to what's going on.
Yeah, I wore the hoodie once when I was going to college, and like a guy was just like, "Yes!" I was like, "What?" And he's like, "Grishu!" I'm like, "Oh." Yeah, cool dude. Yeah, I like him too. I try not to play out like the whole, "Oh yeah, I'm in the band." It's like, oh yeah, cool, man.
Yeah, but nowadays, I go to concerts all the time.
Oh.
I end up taking photos. And as a matter of fact, I think the world sort of changed until 20, maybe 15 years ago. It used to be this kind of a wild band. You know, this kind of band. Nowadays, people worry about likes and fitness, but also embrace the people around them, share the band.
Yeah,
I don't think you should hide the fact that you're in the band. Just be proud of it, but not be arrogant.
Yeah.
I think that's how it actually goes.
I think, yeah.
And that's what I appreciate. I have bands. Actually, one reason that I wanted to meet you is I love your music, but I wanted to see the people behind it. It makes a big difference in the way I perceive the music sometimes. And I met some of the bands from the photographer experience. I used to like the music, and probably I still like the music, but I'm no longer a fan or an admirer of certain people who are like, "Oh, you only photograph one song, no, you're not allowed to photograph except if you go over the sound tower," things like that. But most people are like, "Come on, you're not working here, I'm not coming here to, you know, destroy your difference, I'm trying to help."
Right.
So,
yeah, we have a friend. seen a lot of his photos. Daniel,
on your website. Yeah.
And he had that experience in Sweden, because he's from Sweden. He went to a concert where he was trying to photograph System of a Down. Mm-hmm. And he had that problem. They were like, no, you're not.
Really?
Where was it? You beat him out. So.
Oh, was it?
Maybe it was your feminine charm.
No. It was before he moved here.
Oh, okay.
I think it was like a label thing or something. Where they,
yeah, they were just like...
a contractual thing, yeah.
What's his name? Not the car, but the other big car down in LA.
Their
photos, but
yeah, stuff like that. It's just, you know, it kind of sucks because it's, you know, it comes down to it. It's all an art form, sort of. You know, that's all.
I maybe understand. Really big name, for example, Iron Maiden has the management of moving to the photographer's car.
Yeah.
They have the meaning for us.
Yeah. Well, it's just, sure. I think that's kind of just such a, I hope that that's a way of doing things that's kind of going out of style, because there's so many, you know, everyone's got a cell phone and a camera now. It's like, it's better to just, you know, portray your image honestly, you know, be it, you know, don't, rather than to like try and contrive this elaborate idea of who you are and then get mad when something comes up that's contradictory to it. It's like, so that's always just frustrating for me. It's like, we, you know, people take tons of pictures of us and we're out, and they can be taken by anyone and they can be posted, and we may look good in them and we may look terrible in them, but like, that's just who you are.
It's like everybody else. So.
Yeah. It just shows the reality of what's going on rather than this.
The advantage of photography is that they go through 1,000 photos and try to select the
best ones. We're not trying to be 80s rock stars, let's put it that way.
Okay.
That's the next step.
Not yet. Yeah.
Album after this one. That's
we'll get to talk about that because we're working on it, but let's go back to the other. Well, I don't really have an order of the questions, so, but if I start to ask from this part, then I forget about this one. So you said you haven't seen other indie bands getting the fame that you guys have. Are there many indie bands in this area?
There's tons.
There's a lot of bands.
Tons of bands.
I didn't mean to say that I haven't seen indie bands getting our fame, because I don't feel that we're famous, but I don't see a lot of. I don't see a lot of indie bands having the continuous support that we have from our fans and how much it grows over time. But we've also been doing this for 10 years, so maybe that's a factor. You know, I don't know.
But did you try to work with other indie bands?
We have, and sometimes here and there. We've tried to work with some bands up and down the West Coast. We've tried to work with some bands locally. And there have been a few that we can
some really great bands.
We do well with from time to time. But a lot of time it's just really hard for, you know, for various reasons. You know, people are living their own lives and they have their priorities. A lot of people have families and things like that. And so to be able to consistently rely on other groups has been difficult. You know, it's just... You know, but it's great when we can. It's just been really hard for us to find it. Yeah, people that are, you know.
I mean, being a band for nearly 10 years, you've seen a lot of other indie groups like come and go, or just like, you know, drop off. They were big while we just started, and then they kind of dropped off in the middle of the scene, and kind of like, wow.
Where they get really big, and then. Crawl up this mountain, you know, and so hopefully we don't just jump off and say, fuck it.
It's been a lot of work.
What holds you guys together as a band?
Well, Gorilla Glue. Really good glue. Super glue.
Give me that.
I don't know. I mean, I think we're really good friends, you know, and we all care a lot about each other.
We can fight really well. We can fight and then resolve things. We're able to do that so far.
Yeah, we're pretty good about
dealing with conflict. We all live in the same house, so, and we have for the last, like,
5 years?
No, because we lived 6 years at least.
Yeah.
Jesse's been with us that long.
So,
and the other, and the three of us have lived together for like.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's just not easy, times, but at the same time.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking what holds you together, because I told you it's not easy. I probably don't get rich or anything.
None of us have taken any money that the band's made at all. We've put it all back into.
It all just goes back into
what fans want merchandise wise and
merchandise and recording albums and driving the bus, you know, putting gas in it.
So I guess it's just a matter of a lot of passion that you guys have for this.
Yeah, I mean we're all extremely focused on what we're doing, and you know, like Drew said, we're all really great friends. We feed off of that.
When things do come up, we always deal with it. You know, it's just it's, certain people in the band like to deal with things right away, and so that makes it. Sometimes others of us would rather not, but it's for our.
It's to our benefit. Three people don't.
Actually, yeah. One of the questions was, what do you guys have in common? What are you guys different at? When you sit together as a group of people.
We're all geeks.
Yeah, we're all pretty nerdy.
Kind of geeky in our own
way. That's a good question.
I think we share a lot.
I'd rather have good questions.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, like sharing like a common interest and dialogue with like real dialogue with people. I think that we kind of share that with, you know, like, even just our friends within our circle. You know, it's just like genuine people and like people who are honest with each other and people who are just good in general, like good energy and not having very good words.
I think we all kind of share a common concern just about the world around us and what's happening in it. You know, I think like we're all pretty heavily aware of those things, and you know, we talk about that kind of stuff a lot. You know, we all like to watch Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. I don't know if they have those. I don't know if they have them in Europe.
Yeah.
So we watch that and Jeopardy.
That's what holds them together. Yeah. So that's how you pick your word,
actually. Wheel of Fortune.
How does it fit?
Yeah. So I think we have, and things that are different, you know, like we're all very different people. We have our own personal interests, you know. Like Jesse really likes cooking and is good at cooking. Sean does like gardening and things like that. He has this strange plant fetish. That he likes to use.
That's why you look at your birds, because you spend your time around plants.
I talk to plants.
Yeah.
But you don't get any response.
Social skills.
Yeah, exactly.
No, they talk back.
Yeah, but not verbally at least.
You seen little, have you seen Little Shop of Horrors?
Yeah, actually, that was my question. Because sometimes people don't have to be 100% alike.
Yeah.
Feel something together. Differences.
No, we're so
totally different. Yeah, I think our differences are definitely a thing that helps drive what we're doing as well. We challenge each other in a lot of different ways. And we're always discovering new things about each other.
In each of our perspectives, a lot of times, yeah, like you said, it challenges us, and like as always, like I think having those differences and those contrasts really pushes us as individuals and also as a group.
Yeah, absolutely.
Allows us to grow.
You have to learn a lot of humility when you're surrounded by people that have good opinions. You know, because you're never. It seems like you're never really right about anything for very long. You know, it's like, or if you are, it's because you all agree. But.
I find it hard to be right about stuff, so I usually say maybe. It's quite one of my favorite things, maybe. Oh, at least my life brought me so far.
Yeah.
You can't be 100% right about things.
No, you can't. It's impossible.
Altogether. So it's mainly to have an opinion. And I appreciate it when people actually are able to change their opinions when they present their facts.
Yeah.
I respect people who hold on to their opinions, but if you go like this, then
people that are able to listen and digest digest information and modify their opinions are definitely respectable.
Yeah. It's definitely opinion modification all the time.
Maybe. Are you guys musically educated? Or is it, like a young kid's passion to sing some guitar?
Jesse and I kind of are. We went through, I took violin lessons and saxophone lessons back in the day, and
both of our fathers are musicians, and so we just kind of grew up around the whole environment. And my dad's a drummer as well, and so pretty much my whole life is what I've been surrounded by. And Drew's dad did tons of other things as well.
My dad was a trumpet player.
Was he?
I didn't know that.
My mom was a singer.
You told me. I knew that. I didn't know that.
I wasn't educated in music.
Well, I know.
Drew and I both went through the school education system.
That's how the music goes.
I was in middle school, high school, I was educated. I didn't get like a degree in it.
When I was in school, I was involved pretty much in any form of music that was available to me.
I mean, your parents were pretty much like doing music
they
like all the time. Whereas Dave and I were like kind of more the assholes of our family. We decided to just do music because we were angry.
Yeah. Because I know the kind of thing.
That breaks it down. It's pretty straightforward.
Well, how did you end up with your first instruments? Because since you, or I don't know, how do you supply yourself with the instruments that you guys need, considering you're not making so much money out of music?
Do you have any endorsements?
Endorses us after this.
That's your job.
Endorsed. No, I'm kidding. I have a guitar that was given to me. But you know what? Actually, before, I mean, it wasn't. It's not an endorsement, but we have a. This is kind of a testament to like what we were talking about, like our fans. Like we had this guy call or email us and said, "I want to send you guys a package." And it was really kind of a bizarre email.
We were kind of worried.
Because when someone random emails you,
is it a severed head?
Maybe not worried. I think we were all skeptical.
Yeah.
Just kind of curious about the cautious side.
Yeah, and so we didn't say anything and continued on. And so eventually it came to where he sent us package. To make a long story short, this guy sent us a guitar, a very nice guitar. And his reasoning behind it was simply that he couldn't find use for it, and his idea was that he was going to sell it, but rather than sell it, our music was very impressive to him, or not impressive, but moved him to the extent that he felt that sending it to us would benefit him more than the money would. And that to me is more than an endorsement, you know. I mean, it's just that's amazing. That gives me cold chills to think about that.
When we opened the box, it was just like, I'm like, what? Wow! It was just. And we opened the case, and it's like that's not just like a guitar. Like that's a really nice. Like,
well, and that's not something we want. So no one send us any fucking. don't ask, because we're not giving you our address.
The impact was
very moving, and that's why we continue to do what we do, because it seems like that we are actually affecting
people. I believe it keeps going.
Yeah.
You have like energy.
Off of that. I mean, quite honestly, like, fans, like, encourage us, I mean, to keep going, and we didn't have a committed fan base. We wouldn't be doing it probably more than anything. I mean, we would have probably pissed it off like any other group, I think. And, but the fact that people believe in us, it's just like, wow, okay. I guess we were right from the beginning. We should just keep going.
But speaking of beginnings, how did you put the finances together for the first release?
Oh, for this when we did the first album?
Yeah.
I think we got a loan for the first one, didn't we? For Terrace?
How was that done?
Or did we just pay for it?
Terrace.
Did we just, I think we might have paid for it out of pocket.
Yeah, that was what's his name?
Exactly.
Yeah, we got a loan.
We did.
We got a loan for that.
And did you pay the loan? back yet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we paid the loan back.
Yeah. We paid that back. And
then we did Eidolon.
Same guy.
Same thing. We paid some of that. I know we paid one of the two. We paid some of our
slate. That came out of pocket.
Yeah, we paid a little bit of Eidolon out of pocket.
Yeah. But we were pretty...
So Feathergun,
we got a loan for.
Yeah, so it's not that easy.
It was really hard to get.
As time goes on, it gets more and more money to make an album for us.
Yeah,
because we start to realize
what we can do.
I think that's one of the things that has been able to set us aside from a lot of other bands. We're lucky, and Dave's very business savvy, and was he worked at a bank for years, and so kind of has the financial situation of the band.
He's money smart.
Yeah.
I just kill a people on Wall Street tonight. If we get the money for our album.
That's right.
So that's what the loan means in Seattle.
You don't need to know that.
It doesn't matter.
We're very conscious of our how we don't take any money from our shows. We put that back into the band. You know, all bands like take the money and split it up between them. It's like, let's go out.
It's crazy. I mean, people, you know, we know bands that. It's a little early for that. But we know bands that, you know, make $200 at a show and they just split it up. They're like, here's your $50, here's your $50, here. And they go drink it. Yeah, they drink it.
And, you know, if we want to have drinks and stuff like that, that's on us. We pay for it.
We work.
You know,
I actually started to meet bands like you, that's sort of small, but I believe, like I said, the world is changing with music.
Absolutely.
And there's more and more very serious people about what they do, because it's no longer sex, drugs, and rock and roll that keeps music going. Yeah. It means people love quality, people have learned what quality music is versus just, all right, I know a guitar solo and I can play it 100 times.
Faster than anyone else.
Yeah, it's not enough to have that.
No, I can't play fast enough, so we have to change things a little bit.
I don't care. It's fascinating to look at the guitarist who you cannot see their fingers, but that's not all. I would much rather have a melody than words singing.
It's very important to have that.
I do. I'm okay.
I'm good at
Long Island? I'm a bit more of it.
I'm trying to go to sleep in about 2 minutes.
See if they have any.
Can you talk in your sleep?
If they have.
Check out the funny thing.
I even keep my eyes open, so. Okay.
What's your biggest accomplishment? What do you think is your biggest accomplishment?
That we're still a band.
I think that's true. I think
if you did that, sorry to interrupt, but if you did that for 10 years, I'd find it.
We started the band to be famous and to get girls and to to make it all those things.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
That's why we started the band. And that changed very fast for us because we started to experiment with life and find that there was more than that, you know? I mean,
I know it was
very precarious at a certain point in time because we had people pushing us a different direction and we started to go a different way.
It's also just a matter of us being exposed to the scene. Like, if we saw bands that were doing the whole sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and trying to do that, then we're just like, this is just coming across as really superficial and phony, and we just didn't feel it. You know,
it works when you're famous.
Yeah, it works if you're secluded. But fuck it.
Lucky and we didn't become famous, you know. I mean, that's a really big thing. I'm glad it didn't happen. We're all like, wow, what would have happened if we would have got famous off something like
Paris
Fames?
I think we would have made 5 years
the next Trapped album or something like that, you know?
They would have visited your graves, perhaps.
That's probably
like, exactly. No one would, we wouldn't have been able to impact somebody positively, you know? No one would have ever said, you've moved me, you've kept me, you know, your music has kept me from doing very bad things, or it's made me do very good things. And
that's another thing that keeps you going, this kind of feedback.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to hear those kinds of things and not seriously, like, evaluate what you're doing, you know? And I don't mean that in any kind of, like, a pretentious way, or that we're, like, you know, patting ourselves on the back about it, but it's like we've had such a sincere response from people that, you know, it's like even when you doubt yourself sometimes, it's like, you know, now I know that I can do something good because all these people believe in me, you know, believe in us, that we can make something that's meaningful to them, you know, and so it really becomes more of a question of, like, how do I create something that's really meaningful and it's beautiful, you know, that touches someone, and, you know, much less than, like, what's going to be a great, you know, hook for this song, what's going to be a great, you know, it's like, the hell with all that. I mean, that's great if it happens that way, and those parts are there too, but, like, you know, we just try to make meaningful music, you know, and hope that we make what matters to us and what is moving to us, and hope that other people enjoy it as well.
That hasn't been recording at all? Just kidding.
I don't have such a good memory. I have a question strictly for you.
Okay.
For your vocal skills. What actually do you mean?
I'm just here. I'm just a guy. I'm just
giving credit. Because he's a nice guy.
Okay.
Such a nice guy. And a good singer.
Actually, that's what... what's the word you got me into Richmond? The first song I heard was Freaks and Animals, which was nice, but then I heard the next one of the album, LMF, where you scream, like that, you know? And then the first thing I did was to check if there's a live recording of that scream, and you can do it live. How can you hold your breath like that and scream? I don't know how many seconds, but it's a long scream.
If I can jump in real quick on this, I know I'm not going to answer the question, but I completely agree with you. When I look at YouTube videos of what he's doing, it's insane that it's still live.
Yeah, because live, you jump, you run, you headbang, you whatever, so when it's some energy.
And it sounds that way on stage, and that's very powerful.
Yeah. And but then anyway, I started buying stuff and all that. It's really a magnet, because people see that kind of skill on stage, and you're serious about it.
Well, I appreciate it. I think one thing is I've just always had a lot of air, like, breath capacity. I don't know why exactly. I just do. It's because I talk
without stopping.
Talk for hours. That's right. That's true. That's what works. But I don't know. Like, I played saxophone and clarinet for a long time when I was growing up, and that helps, you know. But yeah, literally, I can talk for. Especially, you know, if you give me a few more drinks, I'll talk for like 10 more hours.
I'll give you this and I'll give you my address. So we just...
Okay, I'm gonna go now. Here we go. And this is a call. Look over here.
50 pages in three.
It'll just blow up.
Yeah, I'm out of here again. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's nothing you practice.
Well, I do now. When we started
the... That was so funny. Right, so I did these great things, and now I have something
to I mean, it is kind of ironic. I actually, when we put out Feather Gun, so when I got into the studio and started recording it, because prior to that, I hadn't really just done all of those songs in a row. And I found that I was like, I couldn't do all of them. And you know, they were just, I could by themselves, but one after the other was just really tiring. And I did actually go start seeing a vocal coach. Her name's Susan Carr, and she's worked with a bunch of people that have been bigger out here. And C-A-R-R.
Awesome.
Yeah, good job.
So yeah, so I started. I
couldn't even do that, and I live here.
I've heard the name before.
But yeah, she's worked with some big artists, and she's great. And I took lessons from her for maybe 8 months or so after Feather Gun to kind of really get my strength up and learn some things. And I'll probably go back. I just haven't had the money to do it lately. But she's awesome, and so that's helped a lot in getting me improving my technique and stuff to be able to do all that stuff consistently live.
What's the history of that band name?
Oh, I'd love to tell you.
That's debatable.
It's going to stay a secret.
For the most part, I think so.
Alright.
Keep
distracted.
Oh, there's many stories out and about it.
I like the Boggle story.
Yeah,
it's the same way we do lyrics. It's just we have to put the things there, we hit the Boggle,
and just press the button, and the little dice just gives
like water.
Yeah.
Actually, we just like shove all these Boggle dice down a guy's throat and shake him up, make it go into his stomach.
And which way did it come out?
Yeah. Which way did it come out?
Which way did it come out?
Mostly they come out both ways, but.
There's this elaborate ritual. You can't touch them. Like you have to, if they're like on the floor or floating or whatever. Like you have to like whatever's visible, and you start from whichever one
is this gonna go?
Came out first, and then you have to do it in order. So whatever it is, that's how
it's
a pure coincidence.
It actually is a made up word that we wanted to have something that wasn't someone else's. You know, we wanted to describe.
It was easily searchable, and it was just like, oh, you heard the word, and it was like, okay, that's
yeah, that's
man.
Very smart.
But we also wanted to describe, I guess, in the idea of inspiration, you know, and we wanted that word to be defined by that. And so if we can do that, then we created a word that defined inspiration within.
Did you find the word to mean something in any language, any kind of country?
Well, yeah.
I found this in Malaysian or
whatever. It doesn't mean anything in any language,
okay.
You know, outside of.
I've heard that it's like an Indian wind instrument is called a rishlu. But I don't know. We discovered that out long after we've been the band and whatever.
Is there any song you'd like to cover?
Yeah, there's actually a few, but we won't cover a song. Not at this point.
Someday.
We started off like a band, like kind of just jamming around, playing covers and stuff, and really realized that. I mean, no offense to the people that create them. There's a lot of incredible original music out there, but covering them is altogether different, and it's just kind of boring, and it's much more interesting. It's kind of our thing to like just present it to create our experience.
Yeah. But eventually, I think we will. We have some things we've talked about. It's just like we need to get a few more albums out, you know, or at least a couple more before we really start have our own big body of work before we start playing.
Don't you think that covering the song might help with your promotion?
Yeah, but we also don't want it. We don't want to get famous because of it. You know, like it's like take for example a band like Alien Ant Farm covered Michael Jackson's whatever that's called. I can't remember.
And then that's why everybody knows.
And that's why they know that. Yes, we're criminal.
So we'd rather just like work our way up by our own.
Yeah.
On our own merits, you know.
And then
we're done.
That's
Nobody Married Day.
But I mean, and then by the
this for sure.
You know, when everyone knows us, especially when we play live, the people that are there for the most part are there to see us play our music. So if we break into a song that is. is someone else's, it would kind of break away from the mood we're trying to create as well. But it might draw on those people that have no idea who we are.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. It's something you have to put in balance and decide for yourself.
Yeah. Oh, do you want to know what we would cover though?
Yeah.
If you know, once that time comes, I think I personally would like to cover Major Tom by David Bowie.
There was another band covering that.
Was there?
Cold covered that.
Cold? Oh, never mind. If Cold covered it, I don't want to cover it.
It's just gonna come down to like finding the right song, because it's cool to cover a song, but like covering it kind of uniquely in your own way, like that's always, it's always impacted me most. Like when I hear a song as a cover, but it's kind of just in that band's kind of own original style, and they kind of make it their own. Like
I think example, Us and Them would be a cool one. Us and Them by Pink Floyd.
Was that a cover?
No, I think that would be a cool song.
Wait a minute, did they cover that? Covered their own song.
That was a Bo Diddley song.
My God.
Back in the day.
Different.
I think we pissed off a lot of fans.
They had no idea
what we were playing, and then we told them at the end that was our song.
Which song was that?
It was Illumination.
That's one album. You know, the problem with you and music. So as I said, I started with Idolon. How do you say the name of
the album? Yeah,
I don't blame you. Don't ever listen to Terrace Fame.
So I don't think I ever heard the last five songs of the album, just because I switched to this.
Oh, if that's true, actually the best song on that album are the last two songs.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. I do my best.
What is World of Fame?
Paris and Fame.
Paris and Fame, so yeah.
I don't think I grew up with that song.
They're not good. I mean,
they're the best songs.
It's not a good album.
I'm right? It's my taste.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
You're very much attached to your
opinion. Yeah, there was on Facebook,
the Blue Dolphin demo. Yeah, there's a guy out there. Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah, there's a guy out there.
Some people that know about this don't say.
Who have a disc that we put out.
I just want to go into it just for myself because I like the song.
Yeah, we put it in. Yeah, we put it out a very long time ago. It was before the first album even.
Okay.
And we recorded like a 3-song demo. And there's some of them are out just around the world.
They're not the most awesome.
Oh, wow, that's
they're
weird. Just really
cool. Yeah. Nice. Oh my God. wait. Oh, and then they just.
That's how you guys fight, huh?
Yeah. I just witnessed it.
Training great. I mean, I guess as far as covering a song, like, kind of doing what Johnny Cash did with like, he just
made a song.
He just made it his, you know?
Yeah,
it was a great song on his own, but he owned that song. It was like, fuck, man.
And that's what I think that we would do, like,
that's what I would
do. We have the option to like, have this career that we're a band. We're going to be a band on our own merit, and then when we're old, we're sure.
Right.
I mean, I'm already old, but
I know it's just a lie.
Thanks, man.
You thought it was just a lie?
Yeah.
No, I mean, but when we're past, like, the prime, if we're able to recognize that there's something out there that means something still, that's what we'll cover. You know, plus, I'm not saying it won't mean something then, but.
I'd like to use Sound of Silence. That sounded like our company. I don't know how we'd do it.
Cool song that I've
things that people have all things.
There's some.
Done.
I'm not sure. I think it's a.
You haven't heard it by him yet.
Hmm? Yes. Hello, darkness, my old friend. Oh my God.
Way to go.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy you have a stuff.
To talk with you again. That sounds like The Hobbit.
Is that Lance Rock? I've seen you guys. Are you? Is it Guitar Hero or Rock Band?
Rock Band.
Rock Band. How did you end up there? How?
We were contacted by a company that.
So it wasn't yourself.
No.
They had
some sort of demand or interest from bands. They're trying to start their. What they were doing, they're authoring bands, and they have some fairly high-end bands, like, what's the Rob Zombie's brother?
Oh,
Power Man 5000 is they authored this. Oh, you remember Power Man?
Yeah. But yeah,
that's good, because you don't want to.
Yeah.
But anyways, there's like a lot of bands that they were in contact with, and they asked us if we'd be interested, and we just come out with Feather Gun, and we're like, yes, of course, fuck yes, please do our stuff.
It's a good promotion, I guess.
Yeah.
We've gotten a lot of responses successfully.
Can you play the song yourself?
No.
We haven't even tried yet.
No, we haven't tried yet.
We have to buy it
and everything.
Is it too poor?
I'm going to tell you right now, we can't play it.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure we can. I'm scared, man. There's kids that have posted YouTube videos playing.
They're rock really and fucking good.
There's no way I can hit.
Yeah, but I guess it's a little bit of a difference between pressing buttons and pressing
calls. There's a difference, but you tend to be really impressed with people that can do, like, you know, this thing. It's your song and your music, but they're doing it, and they're doing it better than you could do on the whatever manipulation device that they're doing it. I think you can come to our shows and see how we do it. So.
It's really cool. It's exciting to see people just, you know, getting excited about what we're doing and just having fun with it. You know, I think that's the most important part.
Because you have, you know, this flight simulator, where there can be very talented kids. Yeah. Keep them a plane, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
So I guess you shouldn't be afraid of those kids. No.
I think it's a great way for people to get a more visceral experience of music, you know. And I mean, I think it's just another cool way to connect with a song. And kids these days have like grown up with video games all their lives, and so
kids these days, kids our days.
Well, kids our days too, but especially nowadays.
It's a difference between Atari and.
We can remember a time before video games.
Yeah.
That's
true. Yeah.
Two-color screen.
Maybe some of the readers will be like, what
are they talking about?
Okay. And sometimes Google, Wikipedia.
Atari, what?
Yeah.
What's that? That's Atari?
Atari.
Okay, let's move the dialogue towards the stealing market or the digital world.
Oh, yeah. Piracy. Which isn't really piracy.
Download our own. Not necessarily download. My supposition is that downloading brings you new fans.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, it steals money from you.
Yeah.
So,
it's inevitable, though. It's going to happen regardless.
I agree with
you. It's happening? Are you alright with it?
No, we're completely fine with it. This is, the problem is I guess the way I think that we all view it is that if you want to take our album, you can't afford to buy it, or you don't know what you're going to get, take it. If you're a fan, I would hope that you would buy the album. If you don't like the album, then no, don't buy it. Because you should know what you're buying. You know, you should. Art in and of itself should be free, but if we're spending money on it, then if you like it, you should spend money on it. It'd be like getting your favorite ice cream flavor for free that you tasted 100 times. You know, I mean, don't do it that way, but please
just go and find it and steal it. And,
So would you rather have people coming to shows and downloading, or people to buy albums and buy albums?
No, please come to
Yeah, we'd much rather have people come to shows.
We'd much rather have crowds.
I mean, I think
if we could give an album away for free, that's what we would do.
Getting fans to come and see you live.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, the thing is they come out to a show, and they want to buy a shirt, or they want to buy, like, posters.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of fans will buy CDs, that, even though they already have the downloaded version.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, because they want it signed, or they want this and that, and it's, it really isn't about, when you say, don't steal our album, it's like saying, don't listen to us.
Yeah. But it's just, that's the world that we live in. We're in a world of digital things where copies are not really copies, you know? It's like an electronic replication of something, you know? So, I mean, I think we just hope that people will support what they care about, and that's kind of what we push, is it's like, if you like something, if you like an artist, if you like a band, if you like a filmmaker, whatever it is, you know, anyone who creates something, like, then support them, you know? And if you don't like them, then don't support them, you know? But
they can have, like, an experience for at home, and then when, they come to the live show and experience something completely different, or just expand upon what they experience at home, like, I mean, that's, I think, a lot more valuable. Like, if you really enjoy a band's listening to a CD on stereo, and you're like, wow, that's really cool, and then when you go and see them live, and you're like, that was, like, just moving, seeing, like, the production, and just the overall experience, that makes a band for me, and that's kind of, like, I think, luckily, what we all feel like, we want to move people.
We want to spend time in a room with a bunch of people for a couple hours and, like, make a world.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what
I love.
That's
really
what we want to share an experience with.
It's Flaming Lips. Like, they create their own world and their, like, life.
Those guys
walk on stage and they make sure everybody in that room has a good time.
Well, I've seen them outdoors with thousands of people.
Yeah.
Prior to the concert, they asked for volunteers to dress in orange or whatever and come on stage and be like,
That
was so.
It is.
Well, we saw him here, and it's just like, you know,
changed our ideas of what a concert should be.
I'll never forget, like, I think they closed the show at the, like, I don't know what the song's called. Everyone, you know, someday we'll die.
Right.
Do you realize?
From Yoshimi.
And it's just like, I'll never forget that moment. Like, it was a really great moment with all of those people that, like, really felt like a shared experience with everyone that was there.
Okay. I hope this is a short question. How often do you guys rehearse?
We try for three times a week.
And since you live together, do you also have the rehearsals in the same house?
Yeah.
That makes it easy.
That's the reasoning for living together, actually. That's the reason we live together.
To make it easier all around, I mean.
And because usually bands rehearse at the drummer's place.
That's true.
It's nice. We can just.
Why don't you get a place, dude? I'm tired of it.
I'm
too poor.
Why don't you get in with a drummer so we can play with him?
I'm trying to think of something clever to say, and it couldn't come to me.
Because you were drumming in your head, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
What's the best and the worst thing about playing drums? Because I guess you haven't really been playing huge in games. What do you like and what do you hate?
The worst thing is, like, for me at least, is pumping yourself up. And saying, like, those people really care about what you're doing. Clubs?
Yeah.
Like, because sometimes you'll schedule a club and there's not that many people there, and the people that are there don't really care. They don't know you.
The bars, you know. I think one of the worst things for me is just, like,
clubs are very stressful because there's a lot of times smaller clubs that don't have everything straightened out. So we get there and it's like 3 hours of just trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. Nobody there knows what's going on. Like, they don't know what's happening, you know. And it's just a lot of times, I don't know, I'd say probably half the time it turns into just a giant pain in the ass. But,
and nice things?
Nice things? Well, I mean, intimacy.
Yeah.
It's nice to be close with people.
We have some good relationships with some places, you know, and like it's really good to be able to go into a place and know the people that you're working with and have some kind of a common understanding, you know, about how the show's going to go and so forth.
We meet a lot of pretty incredible people like Daniel. If we weren't in the band, we would have met him, and he's a really close friend of ours. So, and people like that. You know, we've met some really amazing people.
He's a nice guy. People like him.
Quoted by Daniel.
Yeah,
that's what he says about himself.
I'm a nice guy. People like me.
Even just being on stage. Even just being on stage in smaller clubs, you know, it's smaller stages, I feel we connect a little differently on, you know. I think we can have a little more fun together on stage when we're on a really tight space. It makes it pretty fun to interact with each other on stage.
Yeah, like,
and not kill each other.
Some of the best, like, shows have really most fun for myself. I felt the energy has just been good just all around when we're, like, playing in small spaces. Like, for one example, over in Utah, there's this place just north of Salt Lake, and it's just this little tiny kind of youth center place. And you're playing on the ground with all the kids. And, you know, the kids are just, like, right up there, like, right next to you while you're playing. And we're just fucking, you know, they're rocking out, so we're starting rocking out. And, like, it's just, like, this kinetic energy between everybody. And it's just, like, kind of punk rock in its own way, but also very organic in its own way. That it's just, like, everybody feels it together. It's like, this is what it is.
We're basically organic rock.
Yes.
Shade grown. We're a free range, cage free, organic rock.
No, we're not coffee.
Chickens. Free range. Free range, organic, vegan.
Pittsburgh, Kansas.
No, actually, we didn't play that show. No, Texas is further. Is it much than that? Yeah.
And how do you spend time with the who's driving and all of the other?
I sleep in an exorbitant amount of time. I sleep. You know, when we're on the road, I'm able to sleep like 15 hours a day. It's crazy. It's like it's just insane.
That makes me mad.
Jesse drives the whole time. Yeah. Jesse drives about 98% of the time. I would say.
Every time he doesn't drive, a tire explodes.
Yeah. We let Sean drive. We let Sean drive for like 3 hours in Arizona.
Fire blows out. It's like, really?
the one time on our last tour that I didn't drive, and I had Sean drive for a while, the tire blows up, and it was on my birthday. Your birthday sucked.
Yeah.
The tire blew out. Jesse and I spent the night in the van parked outside the auto shop tires.
All in that moment, we blow our tire, and in that same moment, we get a call from people that were coordinating our LA show with we were going to.
Oh, yeah.
They confirmed that that's being canceled.
That was a fucking terrible tour. That was
so bad.
A terrible night.
Yeah.
And it was his birthday.
And it was
a March Madness.
Birthday.
Maybe. We have to take a vote.
Yeah.
big fan of.
They're pretty weird.
But they haven't done shit in a while.
They're pretty fucking huge still.
Are they? I don't care if they're huge or not.
They just came back to Seattle. Last long ago, they played some... They played with one with Peter or something.
Huh. They played some really amazing organic music.
Yeah.
They created all through their, like, their pedals and their guitars. Yeah. And they're a drummer plays through a... Well, a drum. But he has a speaker for his mic. It's a, like a reverse speaker. So...
His kick drum mic.
His kick drum mic is a reverse speaker. So it's a speaker for a microphone. So he puts it in front of his bass drum.
Microphones can be speakers, but speakers can also be used in reverse as microphones.
It's a really cool band. They've had some strange things. I'm not sure that everyone would like them, but
that's
probably some of the weirdest stuff I've heard.
I'll check it out. Just give me a quick one. And what's the most embarrassing moment for you guys live on stage?
I was jacking off in the park that Pee-Pee Herman jacked off in. I don't know.
Just kidding. I'm asking
the question. That is
I think Pee-wee Herman was on stage. I think some of the most embarrassing times is when, like, it happens a lot actually. We lose power on stage.
Yeah.
And that is one of the most difficult. Yeah, it's one of the most difficult things to recover from.
It is.
I hate it.
We have a lot of lights.
Yeah. Our lights and amps and everything. Exactly.
Yeah. You don't have enough.
We've come full circle. Yeah. Yeah. It's one of the worst parts of this.
Yeah. It's
a lot of limitations.
We've gotten a lot better about just dealing with it and moving on and continuing the set, and we unplug the things that we can't use because they take too much power. But that really is hard. It's like it's difficult for us to all get back into the motion of being on stage. We said, you know, it's like it's all an experience, and so when something like that kind of breaks the experience, it's hard to, you know, you try to make a part of it as much as you can, but you know, it still isn't what we would like to have.
How did you end up applying for
that? Dave actually emailed me and
the day after the drummer
for Terrence Fame, so
like
saying that he wasn't gonna do it.
Dave actually emailed me and said, hey, you know, why don't you come audition? There's a few websites in Seattle that you can... There's a few websites in Seattle that you can, like, musician classified basically. And so I had myself up there like, hey, I'm a drummer. I like this style. You know, I do this kind of stuff. And so, and he found me on something like that and emailed me and was like, hey, why don't you come audition? And so over the next couple days, I came out. You know, I came out, I think, three or four times before we decided that it was going to be a good fit.
He's the only drummer in the history.
Yeah. Sometimes he's enough.
Well, here's the thing, like, I saw his photo. There were three sites. Three different sites. He was just like, you know, I play drums and I do this and do that. And I'm like, okay. Well, I emailed him. He replied back. There were three sites I saw him on. I was like, man, this guy's going to be too old.
See what you'll put on it and see your take on things.
things kind of went well, and then so I came back another time, and another time, and another time. I think it took 3 or 4 or 5 times, and we kind of just decided that it was going to be a good fit.
Yeah. We were lucky because, like, finding Drew was a pain in the fucking ass. We auditioned over 100 people to find that asshole.
How did you know he was right?
His voice. I mean, he came in and he sang an Oasis cover and Matchbox 20. And so we were kind of like, I mean, we weren't far from that
jump. It was so weird. It was really fucking weird.
But it just felt right. Like, it's like this.
I called him on the phone and I told him, like, I was like, dude, come on. I don't want to talk about this.
Hey, you want to talk about
back to me, yes. Back to me.
Back to the, no, it was. It was like a very bizarre thing happened.
It was cool.
Because I was expecting to, alright, we'll audition 2 or 3 drummers and see how they go. And if it doesn't work out, we'll be done. We won't play anymore.
Do you think things are meant to be, like this kind of thing?
You can't say for sure, but yeah, I definitely hope so. And then, I think at the time, especially, like, these guys ended up being exactly what I was looking for. And so
it's what my benefit. You were doing for them.
I was playing in a bunch of different shitty bands.
Define shitty.
Like I said, I auditioned in tons and tons of bands, and it was like guys that just don't have their shit together, and if they do have their shit together, there's something else that's just really weird about them. And
okay, so not shitty musical
style,
but
they didn't realize. Yeah, it was like, I met these guys, and like they had an album out, and they were going somewhere. They had a direction, they had an idea, they had just good ideas happening, and it's I saw for myself and for everybody else within the group that there was a lot of potential for what could happen. So it ended up working out for me.
No, it was a really fucking weird time.
Are you talking about when he's arriving?
The band?
Since I've joined the band, we have been. Yeah. I don't know if that was the case in that scenario, but since I've joined the band, it's we've run into some really tough times, with ourselves and within the band. And,
I'm happy.
We are too. I think, at least for myself, I wouldn't have known what to do.
It's not the easiest career that you're able to choose. Let's put it that way. I mean, I don't think no matter what career you choose to do, if you expect to like build it from the ground up, it's always going to be difficult. But especially music, I mean, everybody in the world wants to be like some musician or rock star. So it's like there's so much noise out there. Like, it's not the easiest career to choose, but it seems like we found the right elements of that. Kind of came in with more of like he worked with a lot of other bands and
goals for ourselves, like, okay, you know, by this time in this year, we're going to be ready to go into the studio. And so, you know, we try to focus on that and make sure that that's a goal to keep in mind, because if we just let it be and let it continue on and say, okay, well, when we're done with our music, we'll go into the studio, and we're going to keep going and going and going because we constantly change our music.
That comes into play with, like, how you, if you continue to, like, as an artist in any genre, you can, you know, try to perfect something. It's not going to happen if you don't have a goal.
Exactly.
I've painted a goddamn painting for 7 years. It's not done.
Shopping around for studios and kind of like just taking a tour of places, seeing what the vibe is of the place and seeing what the people are that work there. Yeah, just like getting to see, seek out what the energy is, because if we're in a studio that has like terrible energy, we're not going to be inspired to go in there. So that's one thing that we definitely did on this last album. We seeked out quite a few different studios and
worked with our producers, Tom and they're like, we're in the process of that right now, you know, looking for studios and looking for people to work with.
How many are you talking about?
Continue progressing, and you know, we definitely feel so far with our albums. We made a rather drastic change album to album.
From Feather Guns now.
We definitely strive to do that every album, because we definitely want to continue to progress and move forward and give people and give fans our, you know, our new ideas of what our music should be.
It's kind of all over the place.
There's
it's pretty vague, but we have some really heavy ideas. We have some that are heavier.
It's definitely a little different than the last couple albums.
Yeah, it's so
You can give them that, right?
Any estimation on when it's gonna...
Tuesday. Tuesday.
It's not done now. We're gonna be awake for the next 144 hours. And, which is longer than...
You know, the end of the world is supposed to be sometime December next year, so... Will it be before that?
It'll be before then.
That'd be cool.
Yes.
That'd be so nice.
There's many, many end of the world.
The next album, what was the question on the next album?
Whatever you can tell about the next album, when it's coming out.
I think we're shooting for...
Like 2012.
Some
12 months.
I know it's really vague. Yes, I'm giving you a vague idea. It's just as vague as the music description is. So it's like,
yeah, it's summer.
Just
summer.
Kind of guess.
Summer, fall, maybe.
Okay.
Practices and then putting them out there, but the problem with that is that our practices tend to change so fast. Like, even what we posted like a month ago is
everything that we posted in that video is
obsolete.
Who's editing the videos?
What's that? So far, I've been doing some of the editing.
I don't think I've done any of it.
I've done most of the video editing so far. On our updates and stuff. We're looking into doing a little more.
I'm
okay. No, I have the hiccups and I'm trying to stop.
Is he dying over there?
Upside down. I'm serious.
I'm not throwing myself upside down in here.
Throw yourself upside down in
here. I'm not doing that.
It works.
There's a bunch of people around and I'm going up standing on my fucking head. We're actually looking into, especially, documentation of what we're doing has been something that we're admittedly have been lacking on, and so we've recently been looking into options as far as what we can move forward with that, and hopefully with the next little while of what we've been doing, we'll be able to progress in that area.
Okay, I'm done.
Wow.
Okay. Unless you guys have more things to say, especially maybe you just.
You already got way too much information for me that no one needed to hear.
Oh, that's the fuck when I was those. Sorry, I can just erase that. I didn't mean to.